Joshua chapter 10, we'll spend just a few moments here as we wrap up our evening service. Joshua 10, I'll read verses 10 through 15. Begins, of course, with everyone realizing the treaty and the covenant that the Gibeonites had made with Joshua and that he was going to protect them. And of course, that didn't set well. And those kings of the area, five kings came together to march against Gibeon. Beginning in verse 10, and the Lord put them into a panic. He discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of the Lord slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned and all the people with him unto the camp of Gilgal. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can spend time in prayer and that we can see that prayer is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that look like? It looks like Joshua chapter 10. Who can imagine? And Lord, when we huddle and pray on our Wednesday evenings and Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, Lord, you hear our prayers and lives are changed. Souls are touched. Help us tonight, Lord, as we study your word. Thank you for Joshua chapter 10. Pray that you would bless it to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God didn't want Joshua to make a covenant or a treaty with any tribe that lived at that time in the promised land. But the children of Gibeon tricked him. They pulled the wool over his eyes. They said, we are men from afar. Look at our moldy bread. Look at our stale wine. Look at our tattered clothing. Our shoes are worn out. And they felt had compassion upon the Gibeonites, entered into a treaty with them, only to find, after a short walk of a day or two, that the Gibeonites were nearby neighbors. They weren't for miles and miles away. They were close to where they actually were, and they had been tricked. They only lived about 20 miles away. Well, how did that set with the Gibeonite neighbors? It did not set well with them. Now the children of Israel are going to protect the Gibeonites. And after what, you know, Israel did to Jericho, after what Israel did to Ai, Gibeon was a large city. And so rather than turn against Joshua, they turned against the Gibeonites. The complete guide to the Bible says, lie or no lie, that the Gibeonites gave to Joshua, Joshua feels bound by his agreement to protect Gibeon. And so the five kings gather. The kings gather to establish a presence outside of Gibeon. The attack is about to start. And here we are in our text. I want you to see the plea. I want you to see the prayer. Here's something about the prayer, that odd prayer of Joshua. Sun, halt. Moon, stand still. Who can imagine such a prayer as that? The prayer, we'll think about that for just a moment. And then, of course, the power of God to do these things that only He can do. The plea. It's in verses 1 through 9. The surrounding kingdoms gather to review the current situation. They huddle up, these kings, and they do not like what they're seeing. Although Joshua was the principal threat, the armies, these five foreign kings say, we're going to put our guns on the Gibeonites themselves. And because they are the ones that made peace, and they sided with Joshua. Gibeon was a great city. Gibeon was a large city, larger than Ai. And Gibeon's neighbors are not happy. They feel betrayed. And so they do a frontal attack. A moment ago, I told you about Bethany and her camera and someone looking at it and saying, this is a missile. I think she was trying to say it's a bomb. I think it's a bomb or something. It's some kind of, you would find that Satan often doesn't do a frontal attack on Christ himself, but he does a frontal attack on his followers. And you would think they would go after Joshua. Joshua's the bad guy here. No, they're not going after Joshua. They're going after those who are walking in step with Joshua. They're going after the people of Gibeon. And the Gibeonites issue a plea in verse number 6. When they realize the wagons are circling around them, when they realize those five kings have them bracketed, the men of Gibeon in verse 6, send unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. This is the plea. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. And so, in a sense, the Gibeonites say, don't let us down. The Gibeonites say, don't waste any time. The Gibeonites say, mayday, mayday, help us, save us. Come as quickly as you can. And the Lord instructs Joshua to leave whatever he's doing at that moment and to hurry as quickly as he can. They march all night, we are told. They leave Gilgal and march into the land of Gibeon. And the Lord promises Joshua and the nation of Israel that he is going to take care of them to strike these kings. Then in verses 10 through 14 that I read to you a moment ago, beyond the plea is this prayer. And I read it once, so I won't read it again. But we see that the Lord hears Joshua's prayer and he steps out in public for all the world to see. Great hailstones come down and kill so many of these armies of the five kings. So many are killed by hailstones that fall from heaven that we are told God killed more with hailstones and with this weather event than he did even with the sword of the Israelites. In other words, God was fighting with them. God was fighting for them. God was fighting on their behalf, and he was being supremely effective. And then if that wasn't enough, Joshua prays this very unorthodox prayer, sun, stand still, moon, don't move until we get the victory before the night is over. Don't move until the battle is over. Now, there are some who say, well, this is some kind of solar eclipse, or perhaps did the Earth's rotation slow down? What actually went on here that made this thing to occur? The only reasonable answer, it's the Lord. I know I looked when I was studying this, I thought, what time is the sun going to set on Wednesday evening? and I looked, and it was 5:42. What if the sun were to still be hanging in the sky when we left the service tonight? You say, that'd be great. That would be a miracle for the sun to be still hanging in the sky. I've been in some countries where at 10 o'clock at night, you might be wearing your sunglasses, the land of the midnight sun. But that's not the case here in Missouri. This time of year, the sun sets close to 5:30. This is the sun does stand still, and it stops, it halts. The moon does, it continues to shine. And this is God showing himself in public. I love it when the Lord does that. I felt like on this, for the sake of anything else, this last election cycle, when President-elect Trump turned his head and a bullet grazed his ear, I thought, God just stepped out in public. I just saw a miracle take place, and that is so unusual to get a chance to see that in your lifetime. Although I think there's things going on around us all the time that if we would just open our eyes, we would see him at work all around us. But this is what I call, and the title of my message is, The Longest Day. And I would say, after reading this, you've heard me say it before, don't lose confidence in preaching. There are pastors who have lost confidence in preaching. I want to become some sort of a class clown. I want to entertain. I want to do this or that. Don't lose confidence in preaching. Don't lose confidence in prayer. And we pray, and we sometimes walk away and say, well, that was an exercise in vanity. We just spent 15 minutes with our heads bound together as a church family on a Wednesday night. What good does it do? And the answer is the Lord hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers and does things in our midst, sometimes that we're aware of and sometimes that we are not aware of. And Jesus said, the mountains will move. I'll tell you, if mountains ever move, or if seas ever divide, or if the Jordan River ever splits wide open, somebody's praying. And thank the Lord for those folks who are committed to the discipline of prayer, like Joshua was. In this very unorthodox way, he gives us an insight into the heart of the Lord that is a lesson for all to learn, that God hears our prayers. Lastly, we have the power in verses 15 through 43. The kings are scattered. The kings are put into a state of confusion. The kings, many of their armies are killed, and the sound of retreat is heard. In verse 16, these five kings fled. They hide themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told to Joshua, saying, the five kings, they're hiding in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua says, roll stones, cover the mouth of the cave so that they cannot get out. And you think, well, they're going to starve to death in there. Later he says, pull those kings out of there and put your foot on their neck. And they do that. Then he says, choose five trees for five kings and hang them one by one. And they, of course, do that. Israel is showing complete control, but ultimately back away. It's going to be God who is the one who is in complete control. And in 22, Joshua tells them, release the kings and put your foot on their neck. In 26, he says, hang the kings and all glory goes to the Lord. Now, I want you to know that the Lord is watching, just as he watched over the children of Israel. The Lord is watching over us. And just as the Lord is guarding the children of Israel and fighting on their behalf, the Lord is guarding us and fighting on our behalf even tonight. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? He never gets tired. He never gets confused. He never gets distracted. He's watching over you tonight, just as he watched over the children of Israel so long ago. Now, this is the decreed will of the Lord. He can do what he wants, when he wants, however he wants. He said, has God shown himself in public? Yes, all through Scripture, in creation. Who helped God create? No one did. Father, Son, Spirit. The Spirit hovered over the darkness. The Son, we're told in John 1, nothing was created. Nothing has been created without him. All things were created by him. Everything's been created for him. The Trinity created everything that we enjoy. And none of us helped him an inch. Salvation. Creation by the Lord alone. Salvation by the Lord alone. Salvation is of him, by him, for him, through him, to him alone. He calls, he saves, he seals, he protects, he fills, he gifts us. One day he will glorify us. Resurrection. Who resurrected Christ? Did that angel resurrect Christ? No. Did those Roman soldiers resurrect Christ? Not at all. Did the apostles resurrect Christ? That was the last thing they expected to happen. Did those women resurrect Christ? He said, I lay down my life. I take my life back up. He does it alone. I am huge on the Trinity. I am huge on giving God the glory. When it comes to creation, he's working alone. When it comes to salvation, salvation is of the Lord, by the Lord, for the Lord, to the Lord. When it comes to the resurrection, he's got a future use for all of our bodies, and I will come out of the grave, not by anything that I've done. He will raise us up by his single sovereign power, by himself. And if our ashes are scattered to the four winds, or if we've been eaten by a shark, our great fish in the deep blue sea, we've fallen out of the sky in an airplane, we go up in a shuttle and blow up above our hemisphere. God will gather all of us by his power alone. And Joshua 10 is a testimony of what God can do and what God will do and what he's capable of doing. And with the resurrection, there will be a resurrection of the saints. You say, hallelujah. There will be a resurrection of those who are not the saints. People say, I will die, and when I die, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Lived a good life. I'm being annihilated. I won't exist anymore. You are not finished with God when you die. You're only just beginning. And there will be a resurrection of the saints to heaven, and there will be a resurrection of the deceased body of the lost to be tortured forever in hell. Now the question is, what will your resurrection be like? God's going to do this. And I pray that you would say tonight, Pastor, I am safe in Christ, and when he raises my body, it will be to walk in newness of life on streets of gold in heaven with my Savior forever. Joshua 10 is a landmark chapter on the sovereign, glorious, providential power of God in answer to prayer that is there for all the world to see. So that you often wonder, people say, why would Wednesday night be the most important? This is the most important meeting of our church, Wednesday night. You say, why would they say that? This is when we stop what we're doing and we gather, huddle together, and we approach the throne of God and we pray, just as Joshua did in Joshua chapter 10. This is the power meeting of the church week. when we pray together. I pray that you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. So thank you for listening to the plea. Thank you for listening to the prayer. And thank you for spending a moment with me thinking about the power of the Lord. Let's thank the Lord now. Lord, we thank you that we have these moments to spend together. And that, Lord, that you work in our hearts and in our midst. And there's times I see you working every week before services begin. I see you working every week as the service is being conducted. I realize you're working after every service. There are things that are said and things that are done that said, hallelujah. Lord, if there's one tonight who needs a Savior, may they come to know Christ as their Savior, even tonight. Lord, if there are any that need prayer, I know that Joshua prayed and wow, did you answer with hailstones from heaven. Wow, did you answer by holding the sun and the moon in place close to a complete day, almost a day. Lord, if any tonight need to pray, may they come during this closing song and we, like Joshua, can pray together. Lord, if there are any here tonight who need a church home, thank you for those who attended the prospective members class on Sunday. Exciting stuff going on. Lord, if there's any tonight that need a home, may they come home to Friendly. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.